Our scripture today is from the 15th chapter of Matthew, and we're reading several verses there, 21 through 28. Jesus had been in the area where he was doing a lot of ministry in the area around the Sea of Galilee. And it says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. May God bless our reading of his word and our hearing of it. Today is a great day for all of us. A very true fact, not a theory, is that we have all had a mother. And for some of us, a very special blessing for this day is that our mother is still alive. And we can honor her in many ways on this day. For others of us, our mother is no longer alive, but her life and her love and her ministry to each one of us as an individual child is certainly alive and well and cherished. Another fact for us as believers of the biblical word of God is that, as far as we know, there are only two people in the history of the human race, that race that was created by God, who did not have a mother, and that would be Adam and Eve. Even Almighty God's Son, Jesus, had a mother. Now, I have no intention or thought of excluding anyone who is a woman this day, because I'm convinced that being a woman, a female and not a male, is absolutely and completely special in the eyes of God, and also in my own feelings. But this is not Woman's Day. This is Mother's Day. You see, being a mother is a separate uniqueness as a woman. It takes something absolutely exclusive and distinctive among all who are the women of humankind. A mother has to have had at least one child. That's it. That's the one exceptional distinctive that makes a female a mother, one who's had at least one child of her own. So, you single women among us, we respect you, we love you, we honor you, but today is the day for mothers. Now, Jesus Christ is vitally interested in mothers. Yes, he had one of his own, one that he dearly loved and honored. Now, a very special concern he had, as he knew that his life had only moments left. Some of his final words, just words to establish continuing care for his mother as he looked down at her from the cross. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. That's from the 19th chapter of John. Beyond his own mother, Jesus came to seek and to save all mothers, even as that is his ministry to everyone. And in many ways, because of the unique qualities of motherhood, Jesus uses mothers in his ministry of seeking and saving others. Think of this. What did we learn? What did we absorb virtually sitting at our mother's knee? In so many ways, what our mothers showed us through example, what they taught us as they read to us, sang to us as they put us to bed, tucked us in and warmly loved us, and taught us and led us and other children in the church's Sunday school classes and vacation Bible schools. So much of that was, in essence, at our mother's knee. God designed it that way, didn't he? And so we look to the New Testament to find examples of Christ's concern for, among others, for mothers. You can, of course, think of several others, but today I've chosen one of the mothers that illustrates well the particular concerns of Christ for a mother. And I'll use some of the insights of this interesting story to hopefully grow us in discipleship, in learning from the Master. Our text for today is the story of Christ and one who we must call a troubled mother. I must say, I don't think there are any mothers who escape being troubled for or by one of her children or all of her children somewhere along the way. This mother who lived away from Galilee on the Syrian coast of the Mediterranean Sea in the area of Tyre and Sidon was deeply troubled at that time in her life in a very severe way. To a more or less degree, this is the fate, this is the appointment of any mother. Sometimes it's simply the immaturity of children, lacking deep or mature thinking. Children do, as Art Linkletter was aptly describing it, children do or say the darndest things. And it is usually mom who comes to the rescue. Bothers her, troubles her, but mother knows best and does all she can to redeem the time. And this is always best done through love. And who was mom's best teacher of how and why to love? Well, loving unconditionally, Jesus, of course. Thus, for problems of immaturity or any of the other problems I'm just about to name as we think together for the next few moments, I have no doubt that a Christ-led mother is the best of mothers. To go deeper than just immature problems of mama's children, there is the inevitable presence of evil and destructive influences. Unfortunately, it seems, we have improved in our modern world all the way up to more and more opportunities for our children to be exposed to evil and destructive influences. That's quite an improvement, isn't it? It's always been bad, but the challenges and the troubles that face a mother who's caring for her children in our world, in our society, have multiplied exponentially. Like I say, it's always been bad, and I mean bad. The mother of Cain and Abel had to face and deal with the evil of Cain's jealousy and the destructiveness of the murder of one of her sons by the other son. That's what I call bad from the very beginning. But that was just one kind of evil and just one kind of destructiveness. In our world today, the evils and destructive influences are so numerous and so difficult for the mother who deeply cares for her children, I don't want to even start numbering them. Then there are the accidents. Some accidents mother's children present before her are not so big or critical. Stubbed toe, broken arm. But each one calls for mother's loving care and healing. The other accidents, that's what I'll lump them all into, those kinds of accidents are big and severe and some life-threatening. Now, all are crushing to a mother. They're what she dreads. They call for her immediate and loving care. What she dreads, that's what I call living on the edge that all mothers feel as a child is away from her, really, at any time. And then there's the illnesses, and even more troubling, the diseases. Many who read this story of the Canaanite woman read illness or disease for this child instead of demon possession. And perhaps that's what a doctor might diagnose today. But I would caution us not to dismiss evil spirits taking possession of any of us today. We believe that Satan is real and is quite capable of possessing the body or spirit of children today. The point here is that this sickness, whatever the cause or possession, was severely troubling this mother, and she sought help. Truly, where we should go to seek help as parents for our children, going to Jesus in faith. You know, I could go on. Problems, troubles that mothers face and battle for the benefit of their children is myriad. There are dangers of all kinds. So what was the state of mind of this dear mother? We look at her and we see that this troubled mother shared her daughter's agony. She herself was hurting. I dare say when we are children in our mother's home, we don't really understand the real truth that when we as children hurt, mom absorbs and multiplies that hurt within herself. Well, this is only a part of it, but it really was true. When mom gave you a spanking and said, "This hurts me more than it hurts you," she really meant it. Now, in the story of our text, of this mother's daughter was under what mom understood to be the control of demonic powers. This mother, determined as she was that her daughter's problem was demon possession, went to Jesus with faith that he could deliver her daughter from that evil. And you know, it occurs to me that it would be to the advantage of mothers today to see some of our children to be dealing with, wrestling with, or struggling with a spiritual problem, a demon or demons of today's evil. Because here's a spiritual truth. In the same way today, Jesus has the power over the demons milling around, hovering over our world that would like nothing more than to destroy our children. So in this story, what we see is Christ and a troubled mother, but also a trusting mother. This mother had love for her daughter. This mother had enough faith for the healing of her daughter. This mother believed in miracles. The same story is told in Mark chapter 7, beginning with verse 24. And I say that because Mark adds interesting detail, helpful to us. You see, we today turn to Jesus because we have the privilege of knowing so much about him. That was not true in the people of Christ's day. They were only learning about him. Mark tells it this way. He entered a house. This was the same thing. He went away from, excuse me. This is water. Jesus had left where he was. He'd gone to the area of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house, and this is from Mark, and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. Here was a woman in what is now the modern country of Syria. Jesus was a long way from where he spent most of his time in Galilee, and more nearly around the various shores of the Galilean Sea. Jesus had walked primarily among the Jews. But Mark gives us other important information about this woman. The woman was a Greek, Mark says, born in Syrian Phoenicia. Then Mark records this. As soon as she heard about him. As soon as she heard about him. Even though she couldn't have known a lot about him, this mother believed in the miraculous divinity of the Christ. Look at the text, verse 22. She addressed him as Son of David, as Lord. This was a mother who had confidence in the fullness of Jesus' power as the Christ who had come. She expressed her attachment to the plight of her daughter by pleading with Jesus, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Attached to that plight of her daughter. And what she meant by having mercy on her is expressed by the words of Mark's gospel. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. That would be mercy to this loving mother. Lord, have mercy on me. This mother had confidence in the generosity of Jesus' love. This mother had confidence in the fairness of Jesus' mind. So we see Jesus with a confident mother who believed she would be a triumphant mother. She was an overcomer. She was resolute, overcoming a time of the self-imposed concealment of Christ. Just a bit earlier, I read you this text from Mark 7:24. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. You know, Christ retired to private places every once in a while, but it was never allowed as a time of much privacy because others did what this mother did. She sought him out, even though it was his time of a retreat from the crowds. This mother came to Christ without a specific invitation from him, but she came because of her faith. The Bible says, Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing the word. I've heard that somewhere before. Evidently, this mother had heard about the power of Christ to deliver healing, and she believed. Luke 5:17 suggests how widespread was the reputation of Jesus as healer. It reads, one day, Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. This mother overcame the prejudice of her people, probably even of her own. You see, being a Syrian woman, they as a people had little or nothing to do with the Jews. Jesus had gone quietly into unfriendly territory. It appears Jesus had specifically gone to the region of Tyre because he couldn't get any privacy in the region of Galilee. She would also have known of the prejudice of the Jewish people. In like manner, the Jews wanted little or nothing to do with the Syrians. But overcoming all of those prejudices, she boldly came to Jesus Christ, a Jew, for help. Isn't it true that sometimes because of the company we keep and of their prejudices, we're not courageous enough to go to Jesus? She overcame the seeming silence and neglect of the Savior. Did you notice verse 22 today? When this distraught mother came begging for the help of Jesus, Matthew's gospel says this, verse 22, Jesus did not answer a word. As she persisted, Jesus finally answered her with somewhat surprising words, verse 24, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. But this Syrian mama would not be put off, even though she understood that she and her kind were not of Israel. She continued to call him Lord and to beg his help with her daughter. Then he said, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Again, this dedicated mother understood that the children's bread was the word of God for the children of Israel. And the dogs were the people, her people, the non-Jews. And then she showed how little she was asking of Jesus. But in her faith, it would be enough. Just asking for some crumbs. You know, some people have misunderstood Jesus' attitude and his words here. I don't know that I know exactly what it was, but perhaps he was testing and teaching his disciples by his conduct at this time, see what they would do. Or he may have been testing the faith of this mother before leading her on to her expression of genuine faith. Or perhaps he was simply teaching the importance of patient persistence. In any case, the daughter's deliverance marked a new phase in Jesus' ministry, as it was on this day that he ministered to the Greeks as he had been doing with the Jews. So I think we've learned much from this mother who came to Christ in faith and trust. She came trusting and was expectant. She came praying in earnest. She came with a great hope that expressed itself in deep humility. She came with a determination that could not be discouraged. The faith of this troubled mother was certainly rewarded. Her prayer was heard, and her daughter was delivered, healed. Jesus commended this mother for her faith as it was exhibited in her love and her humility and in her persistence. Among many things we learn from Scripture, and what we've observed with this faithful mother here on Mother's Day is also the lesson that delays God sometimes puts upon us are not always denials. Jesus didn't immediately grant the wish of the imploring mother, even though it was heartfelt, it was worthy of his care for children. Here's the thing. Sometimes we want to pluck God's fruit because it is so attractive, yet he knows it's still green. It's not ready yet. And so we learn that he will grant the fruit when it is ripe. This is such a faith growth lesson. When God delays his answer, it's always to prepare us for something better. Thank your mother today. She's done so much for you. Thank her wherever she may be, a heavenly presence or one by you even now. And thank God for your mother. Thanks for her wonderful love.